All right, we come to Acts chapter 10, verse 23. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Then called he them in. That's talking about Peter calling in some messengers from a Gentile by the name of Cornelius, who God sent. God told Cornelius, I should say, to send a couple of men to get Peter, to bring him over to his house so that Peter could tell him how to be saved. So Cornelius sent these men to Peter, and Peter lodged them, it says, and on the next day Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. Now, Cornelius had a heart for God. We saw that last time. But when he fell down before Peter, and he worshipped him, it became clear that he needed some instruction. He better stop doing that right now. Peter's not going to put up with it. Look at verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." Peter did not for one single second tolerate anyone kneeling before him. Now, Peter was the first pope, supposedly, right? Oh, now, those guys have people kneeling before them all the time, kissing their rings, and people say, "Well, yeah, but he's just a representative of Jesus on earth." Well, Peter was a representative of Jesus on earth, too. Jesus put him in charge of the church. And he didn't tolerate that. Not for a second. It's just not right. Church leaders should definitely be honored because of their position. But it is wrong to kneel before them and to give them that kind of honor. And I don't care who they are. The Bible says that he will not share his glory with anyone, and that's exactly what that is. You can call it anything you want, but that's what it is. You can make up any kind of excuses trying to justify it, but there's no justifying it. It's just not right. 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So Peter enters in, and there's a house full of people there waiting to hear the word of God. And he said to them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now, we in 21st century America, perhaps other parts of the world too, cannot fathom what a big deal it was for Peter to go into the home of a Gentile. This was unheard of. Traditionally, touching something that belonged to a Gentile, or like in this case, entering into their home, would make an Israelite ceremonially unclean. So God is really stretching Peter here. He's asking Peter to set aside tradition, which he is about to find out is no longer biblical. And the last part of verse 28, "God has showed me," Peter said, "that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I to you without gainsaying," in other words, without any objection, "as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent you have sent for me?" What's the purpose? Now God showed Peter that he shouldn't call any man common. And the meaning is second rate. Don't call anyone second rate. If there's one thing the human race has, it is spiritual and moral parity, the way God judges it. Because God says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God says in Romans chapter 1 that we have all become worthless. There's parity, all right. The big difference between the saved and the unsaved is that Christians are forgiven. 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak to you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God? So Cornelius says, we're listening. We know this is of God. We're listening to you, Peter. Cornelius actually didn't know what was going on. Peter really didn't know what was going on either. And God used the angel to bring these two together. And when they compare notes, they'll understand what's going on. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is not partial when deciding who to love and who he will save from hell. His love and his mercy are not confined to the Israelites or to anyone else. That's something that Peter needed to understand. That's the first thing. 35. But in every nation, Peter says, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Now, that sounds like salvation by works, doesn't it? But it isn't. One thing we know beyond all doubt that Scripture teaches over and over again is that salvation is always through Christ and always by God's grace and always through faith. But God knows the hearts of those who would receive Jesus if they could. And so the person who fears God, understanding that he is accountable to God, and as a result, avoids all known sins, asking for forgiveness after he fails, will be given more truth until they have received enough truth to receive Jesus, and then they'll be saved. 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and then he adds this parenthesis, he is Lord of all. Peace with God is the best news that this world has ever heard. Fantastic. Fantastic. The problem is, it never makes the headlines. It's the greatest news in the world, and yet it never makes the headlines. People really don't care when someone converts to Christ and is saved from hell. Amazing. Walter Cronkite never reported on that. Huntley and Brinkley never reported on that. Peter Jennings never reported on that. Fox News doesn't report on it. People don't care. They're more concerned about dancing with the stars. So it is up to Christians to spread the word about Jesus so that souls can be saved from hell, because no one else is going to talk about it. 37. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He gives Cornelius and company a quick synopsis of the life and times of Jesus Christ. And take note of the fact that verse 36 says that Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. And that means that he does whatever he wants, which is why I'm glad that he's good. Jesus can do anything that he wants to do, and unlike all others who claim to be absolute rulers, he only does what is good. Aren't we fortunate? 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, in other words, visibly, very much alive. And did you know that every single sermon recorded in the book of Acts includes the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Peter mentioned it right here? The resurrection of Jesus confirms that everything he said is true. How do we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, like he said? How do we know that's true? Because he's the only religious leader who ever came back from the dead, proving that he never committed a sin, and that would include the sin of lying. 41. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. There are money-hungry, popularity-seeking leaders of so-called evangelical colleges who refuse to dogmatically teach that Jesus came back from the dead in his physical body. Why don't they take a stand for the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because they are spiritual cowards and money lovers. Because they want to appeal to a broader range of people and bring them in to their precious college. And I will tell you this, that one day the doors to those ungodly institutions will be nailed shut, and the leadership will be put to shame for selling out for the sake of filthy lucre. Jesus came back from the dead physically. A spirit does not eat and drink like Jesus did after he was raised. A spirit cannot be touched like Jesus was touched after he was raised. There can be no doubt that his resurrection was physical. Peter confirms it here, 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that this, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus will judge those who are still alive when he returns, and he will judge those who are raised at his return. And I would suggest that everyone be in good terms with the judge before that trial begins. 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. The word forgiveness or remission actually means pardon. This is important. God never calls a Christian innocent. He doesn't declare anyone to be innocent, because we are not innocent. We are guilty. There's no doubt about it. But through Jesus Christ, Christians receive a full and everlasting pardon. Big difference. 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now, just for a second, consider this. The moment the word of God hit the souls of Cornelius and his household, it took root, and it sprang up, and it produced salvation. Then, to prove to Peter and the other Jews that God actually received the Gentiles, he caused them to speak in languages that they had never learned, just as the Jewish disciples did on the day of Pentecost. It took a miracle for the Jews to believe that God would accept Gentiles on the same terms as he accepted them, the terms being receiving Jesus Christ. Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So Cornelius and company were Christians. Notice, before they were baptized, they received the Holy Spirit as proof they were Christians before they were baptized, but they submitted to baptism right after they were saved. Baptism does not save us, but it is a command from God to every Christian.